if there's any reportable action.
Perfect.
Awesome. All right.
Recording in progress.
We'll call to order the meeting of the Atascadero City Council of November, gosh, what are we, the 23rd, 2021. With that call to order, I will ask Council Member Funk to lead us in a pledge to the flag.
Please rise and join me in the pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Borbo?
Here.
Councilmember Darris is not here. Councilmember Funk?
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Newsom?
Yes.
Sure. And Mayor Moreno?
I'm here. Thank you. Well, if you are watching or listening to the City Council meeting this evening, we welcome you. And if you'd like to speak during the time set aside for community forum or during any one of our agenda items for public comment, you can call 805-538-2888 to provide public comment via phone. Or if you're here on the webinar, you can simply use the raise hand icon at the bottom of the screen. If you are calling in, please let us know what item you would like to speak on. And again, that number is 805-538-2888. Can I get a motion to approve the agenda?
So moved. I'll second.
Thank you so much. We've got a motion by Councilmember Funk and a second by Mayor Pro Tem Newsom. And we will waive the reading in full of all ordinances appearing on this agenda. And the titles of the ordinances will be read aloud by the city clerk at the first reading after the motion and before the city council votes. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Funk?
Yes.
Councilmember Darris, excuse me, Councilmember Borbo?
Yes.
Councilmember Darris is absent. Mayor Pro Tem Newsom?
Yes.
And Mayor Moreno?
Yes, ma'am.
Motion passes.
Thank you. Moving on to our, we have no presentation, so moving on to our consent calendar. The consent calendar contains items that are considered to be routine and non-controversial and can be passed in one vote, unless there's someone from the council or the public wishing to pull an item. So I will look to my colleagues and see if there's anyone wishing to pull an item on the consent calendar. Seeing that, I'll look to those in the webinar or on the phone. If you're on the phone, you can press *9. If you're in the webinar, raise your hand. If there's any item you would like to pull or comment on that's in the consent calendar. I am seeing none, so I'll close public comment and bring it back to council for a motion.
I move approval of the consent agenda.
I'll second.
Motion by Councilmember Borbo, second by Councilmember Funk. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Borbo?
Yes.
Councilmember Funk?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Newsom?
Yes.
Mayor Moreno?
Yes, ma'am.
Motion passes.
And Ms. Rickard, on to our city manager update.
Thank you, Mayor. Can you see my screen?
Yes, we can.
Fantastic. Thank you. The first one I want to talk about, or first thing, is the Atascadero Fall Festival, and do a recap. I'm sure everybody got a chance to see it as they were driving by. It was absolutely an exciting event. It was held here at City Hall in the Sunken Gardens this past weekend and was a great success. The city has received an outpouring of wonderful comments, compliments, and thank yous from many residents and members of the business community. This event was 2 years in the making with numerous discussion and lots of planning and preparation going on between the city and En Fuego events during that time. The Tourism Board, Atascadero Tourism Bid, was a sponsor of the event along with many other local businesses. And the city has worked well with En Fuego on previous events like the Central Coast Craft Beer Festival. And we had anticipated that this one could also be very successful. Advertising of the event by En Fuego was focused on outside of the local area. And the city picked up promotions locally on social media, our website with radio coverage, and by distributing flyers to the local businesses. We also worked with the school district during the preparation and planning stages and to help get the word out to parents and students. The event brought people into town to fill up hotel rooms for the weekend and a portion of the proceeds benefit the Friends of the Charles Paddock Zoo. The city will be working on bringing the festival here again next year. So, yes, had a lot of people asking me, is this going to be an annual event? Is it coming back? So, yes, it will be coming back. So, save the dates, November 18th through the 20th in 2022. Want to give a quick shout out this evening for the Echoes Shelter Turkey Trot 2021, which is a 5K fun run walk fundraising event that's held on Thanksgiving Day. So that's this Thursday, November 25th, beginning at 8:30 a.m. at the Atascadero Lake Bandstand. Don't forget to wear your best turkey costumes, as there will be prizes for adults, children, and pets at this wonderful fundraiser. Okay, we have a lot of holiday events, which is fantastic. It's exciting to be able to get out and do things again. We are bringing back a event that we came up with last year during COVID when we couldn't get together, but by popular demand, is the Trail of Lights. So this is a holiday lighting map, and where you can click on it and everyone will know exactly where to go for a relaxing evening drive or neighborhood stroll to see all of the wonderfully decorated local homes and businesses, which are guaranteed to get everyone in the holiday spirit. For those that like to go all out on lights or just make it look beautiful, you can register your address for the holiday trails by going online to visitatascadero.com by no later than midnight on December 6th to be eligible for the contest. And to be eligible for the contest, be sure to include a picture of your decorations when you register. The Trail of Lights will run from December 6th through December 25th, with beautiful holiday lighting and decorations on display from 5 p.m. to at least 8 p.m. And winners of the lighting contest will be announced during Winter Wonderland on the 10th and on our social media outlet. And for those that can't quite get everything up and ready by the 6th, you can still register after that. You're just not eligible for the contest if you want people to drive by. We have some holiday events down at the zoo. So we have a Santa's reindeer will be visiting the Charles Paddock Zoo. We're so excited to have two of Santa's reindeers coming for a three-day visit at the zoo. They will be here from December 10th through December 12th. Unfortunately, Santa can't spare all eight reindeer for a visit right now, but he is sending two of them to come hang out here at the zoo for a few days of rest and relaxation before their big night. Visitors can feed and take their pictures with the reindeer while they're here. We also don't want to forget Holiday Magic. The Charles Paddock Zoo will be celebrating Holiday Magic on Saturday, December 18th from 10 a.m. until 1 p.m. Our zookeepers will temporarily be transformed into elves to help our animals enjoy opening their very special holiday gifts. And Santa will be there, too. If you haven't been for Holiday Magic, it's a fun event. It's fun to see the animals tearing into their gifts. They really have a good time. And want to just talk about the post-Thanksgiving pumpkin smash. We don't have a picture for the slide, but trust me, after Thanksgiving, you've got to bring the kids to visit the Charles Paddock Zoo this coming Saturday, November 27th, from 11 to 1. To watch as our zookeepers smash pumpkins as a holiday treat for the holiday zoo animals. This fun and entertainment event will be included in the cost of general admission to the zoo. More holiday events. We have the Atascadero Light Up the Downtown. It will be held on Friday, December 3rd from 5:30 to 8 p.m. here at Historic City Hall in the Sunken Gardens and throughout the downtown. Beginning at 5:30, you can sip and shop your way through the downtown with the Chamber of Commerce's Art, Wine, and Brew Tour. And many of the downtown merchants will open for business as well as showcasing their holiday lights. Be sure to be outside in the Sunken Gardens at 6 p.m., which is when we'll do the countdown to our annual holiday lighting of City Hall. And after the lighting, Santa and Mrs. Claus will arrive via our antique Model A fire truck. free hot chocolate, visits with Santa and Mrs. Claus, hay rides by Harris Stage Lines, and rides on the Model A fire truck will all be included during the event. The same night, Atascadero High School will have their Glow Shine Sparkle Reverse Light Parade. This is another event that was new last year and popular at the high school. So Atascadero High School is hosting a Glow Shine Sparkle Reverse Holiday Parade in conjunction with our Light Up the Downtown event. So it is also on December 4th from 5:30 to 8 p.m. Everyone can stay in their car and drive by all of the beautiful lights and floats. High school student organizations have worked together with local nonprofit groups to create beautifully lighted floats that will illuminate High School Hill. And of course, we can't forget Winter Wonderland. This ever-popular event will be held on Friday, December 10th from 5 to 9 p.m. at the Atascadero Sunken Gardens, and the entire downtown will be transformed into a magical snowy paradise. We're going to have 65 tons of snow, so even more than we have on the poster, and a large snow pile play areas, and a massive snow slide to be built by the Kiwanis Club. We've heard rumors that Santa may be on hand to be one of the first to take a ride down the snow slide, so that's always a fun event. And if you didn't get a chance to go, when am I supposed to be where, and how am I going to go see this? You can always visit our website at visitatascadero.com, and it'll have information about all of our events on there. And with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions the council may have.
Rochelle, I've had some folks ask me over the years, I think it was up till maybe 3 or so years ago, that during our downtown holiday light up, we also used to do the trees in Sunken Gardens. And many people have asked me over time, and I've been explaining, you know, the health of the trees and why we don't do that anymore. But if you could kind of let folks know, because that question is out there, and we want to let them know why we aren't doing that.
Yes. So part of it is our deodar cedars are over 100 years old, and they are reaching the end of their natural lives. And so we do want to try and extend that life as long as possible. So we are very careful about our precious deodars here in City Hall. It also has become extremely expensive to hire people to be able to put those lights up in those trees. And unfortunately, they do not last from year to year. You cannot just leave those up there. Our deodars are losing branches and they hit the wires. We're worried about just some of those things that you have to do with electrical. So it became an expensive, ongoing expense and a danger to the trees. And so we did stop that. And that's when we started lighting up City Hall instead.
Yeah. Thank you. Uh-huh. I appreciate you sharing that. And lastly, I do want to thank the Tourism Business Improvement District for 2 years ago making that commitment to do that fall festival, and to Terry and her team. I know a lot went into that. And for Terry and her team, this is their busy season now through Tamale Festival. And so I know that was a big one to take on. So thank you to all those involved for stepping out and doing something unique and bringing that to Atascadero and all the effort that went into that. Appreciate it very much.
Thank you.
Any other questions for our city manager? All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We'll move on to community forum. And this is a reserve for persons wanting to address the city council on matters that are not on our agenda this evening, but over which the council has jurisdiction. Speakers are limited to 3 minutes, and we turned on the sound on the timer to assist speakers to, or not the timer, but the we have a time flashing up on the screen, so to let you know when your time is coming up. So please state your name for the record before making any comments. And we will allow up to 30 minutes for public comment. So if you go ahead and if you're in the webinar, you can raise your hand, or if you're on the phone, you can press *9. Don't be shy. Community forum, going once. Luke, I don't see anyone on the phone, but maybe there's someone you see that I don't.
We have someone calling in right now. They're being screened, so I'm not quite sure what item they want to speak on yet.
Okay. Let me just give that a moment. Anyone there in the webinar wishing to speak, if you want to go ahead and raise your hand. All right. Well, Luke, I think what I'll do is if we don't have any right now, what I'm going to do is close the community forum portion of the meeting. But since we have no one else wishing to speak at the time, it, in a sense, I'm really not closing it. It will remain open until 6:44. And at this time, the council is going to go ahead and move on to the next item. But if there's anyone who would like to speak for community forum, raise your hand or call 805-538-2888. Before that time limit is ended, and you will be recognized to speak at the earliest possible opportunity. So with that, we will go on to our public hearing, number one, our SB 9 urgency ordinance. And I will first ask if we have any ex parte on this item. All right, none for me either. Seeing none, I will hand this over to our community development director, Mr. Phil Densmore.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. Well, we have been preparing to bring you a discussion and an urgency ordinance on Senate Bill 9, which actually takes effect January 1. But unfortunately, we're not ready to give that to you tonight. We're still working with our legal team on the last minute edits of the urgency ordinance that we'd like to bring you. So that's going to be postponed to December 14th, to a date certain from this evening. But if you have any questions about that, I'd be happy to answer them for now. But our recommendation is to continue without discussion to the December 14th hearing. Thank you.
Thank you. And I'm not seeing any specific questions from council. What I will do is open this item up to, I believe, Laura, we do need to open this up to community input, correct? Public comment on this item?
Yes, please. And then we'll leave it open until the date's certain.
Thank you. 14th. Yes. So we will go ahead and open up public comment for this specific item. And I do see the hand raised, and we'll get right back to you on the community forum item. But if there's anyone wishing to speak on this, the SB 9 urgency ordinance, which we are continuing, but I'm opening up public comment. So is there anyone wishing to speak on this item? Luke, do you have anyone?
We do not.
All right, so we will go ahead and continue this item to our next meeting, which will be December 14th. And with that, we will go back to community forum. And I do see a hand raised, and we will welcome our speaker.
Fortunately, that was a public caller from Jim Wilkins, and he's since hung up. He was wanting to make a positive comment about the Fall Festival.
Ah. Well, if he comes back, Jim, if you're listening, feel free to come back until 6:44 or come at our next meeting or email any of us. Send a letter to the editor. We like to hear those positive comments. And anyone that has any other comment, we want to hear from you too. All right, we'll go ahead and come back. And again, public comment will be closed officially at 6:44 if no one else comes on. All right, so we're on to our really only one item on our agenda with much to talk about tonight, which is Manager Report C1, Sale of Chicago Grade Landfill. And it will be our Deputy Director or Deputy City Manager, Laura Christensen, making that presentation. And Laura, we can't hear you. You might be muted.
Yeah, there we go. Here we are. Thank you, Mayor and Council. Tonight, we're going to talk about the sale of Chicago Grade Landfill. We talked about the sale of Chicago Grade Landfill, which seems kind of like yesterday to me, but it was actually about this time in 2017. Just briefly, just a little history on Chicago Grade Landfill. Chicago Grade Landfill opened in 1970. It's been accepting solid waste from Atascadero for over 50 years now. Right now, it has a current life through 2039, but there's potential for expansion beyond that date. It's just not current. That expansion is not currently permitted. And that's something that, as you know, they get closer to the end of the current life, that they go through the process of going for the permitting and that type of stuff. There, the city has had an exclusive solid waste depositing agreement, basically saying that The city's franchise waste hauler will exclusively deposit all of the waste that they collect here in the city. They'll deposit that at Chicago Grade Landfill, and we've had that agreement with Chicago Grade Landfill since 2007. And as I mentioned a few minutes ago, we were here and discussing the sale of Chicago Grade Landfill back in 2017 when it was purchased by Allos Incorporated. In October, the city was notified that there was negotiations for the sale of Chicago Grade Landfill again, and this time from Allos to Waste Connections Incorporated. The sale does require written consent of the city council, and if the council authorizes the sale, that agreement that I mentioned is binding all the successors. And so while the council can't unreasonably withhold consent from the sale, there is certain information regarding the sale and the buyer that's important for us to know and understand prior to that. And so let me tell you, Waste Connections is in negotiations for the purchase. They are the third largest solid waste company in North America. They are publicly traded on the New York Stock Exchange, and they do business in 44 states and 6 Canadian provinces. They've indicated, and from some of the research that I've done, I've seen that they are committed to supporting local, and that they do support their local managers in the communities where they operate and the environmental needs of the customers in those communities. They have had a presence, Waste Connections has a presence here in SLO County since 2002. They own the Cold Canyon Landfill down in San Luis Obispo and the Cold Canyon Processing Facility. They also own the San Luis Hauling Companies. And they, since 2002, they've purchased those companies and had that presence here in SLO County and most predominantly in South County. The sale of Chicago Grade Landfill to Waste Connections is an agreement to purchase stock. So that's anticipated to close next week. There's no assignment or transfer of the permits or the assets since it is a transfer. So they will become Chicago Grade will become a wholly owned subsidiary of Waste Connections. So all those legal entities remain intact. There's no plans. We've spoken with both representatives of Waste Connections and representatives of Chicago Grade, so their current management, and there's no plans to substantively change the operations. So we shouldn't see impact to the local community. There will be no change to the city's contract with Chicago Grade from the sale, and that the local on-site management and those employees will all be retained. And then the financial assurances will also remain intact. County landfills, I know there's some questions that have come up about that. And there are three landfills in SLO County. We have Cold Canyon Landfill that's down in San Luis. There's Chicago Grade Landfill in Templeton. And then there's Paso Robles Landfill in the city of Paso Robles. All of these are permitted full-service landfills. They accept waste for disposal and recyclables from municipal haulers and from the public, so contractors, landscapers, and then any of the general public that go visit these landfills. Chicago Grade and Cold Canyon are independently owned landfills, and their rates are market driven, whereas the Paso Robles Landfill is a municipal landfill, so it's owned by the city of Paso Robles, and those rates are set by the city council. All three landfills have a set rate for approximately up to 1,000 pounds. They have a flat rate that they charge to the public for those. And so tonight we're just here to answer any questions that you have regarding the sale. There are representatives here from Chicago Grade Landfill, as well as local representatives and some corporate representatives from Waste Connections who are also here. And the recommendation before you is to authorize the city manager to send a letter to Chicago Grade Landfill providing the written consent from the city for the sale of Chicago Grade Landfill to Waste Connections. And with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions. And I know that those who are here from both Chicago Gray Landfill and from Waste Connections would also be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Laura. This is something new we're doing, the whole community forum in 30 minutes. And if someone pops in and trying to find a breaking point. So I'm kind of playing with this tonight. We're going to figure it out. But I'm told we have someone who wants to speak at community forum. And this is a little bit of a break. So let's bring that person in and then we will move on to questions. In the future, what I will likely do is wait till an item is over. But again, I'm kind of playing with this tonight and figuring out what works best. So, Luke, if we could go ahead and bring on our public comment or our community forum speaker.
That caller was Jim Wilkins, who already hung up. So,
I'm sorry. I got that from you, and sorry. I thought there was another. Okay, my mistake. Thank you very much. All right. This is fun, isn't it, folks? Questions. And I do... I want to focus us in because, Laura, what I heard from you and what, of course, we saw in the staff report is that the contract we have with Chicago Grade is not changing. Is that correct?
That is correct. The contract is binding on all successors, so the contract does not change.
Okay. So I'd really like us to keep our questions focused tonight, not on the contract. Is that something that's not before us, that is done, it's in place? But to focus on this potential sale and what that means for Atascadero and things that you feel as a council member you need to know before voting on this item. So with that, I will look to my colleagues for any questions before we bring on any Chicago Grade or Waste Connections representatives. Councilmember Funk.
Thank you. Just a couple things. I want to make sure that we're clear on the impact of this action or lack thereof. Good. So for Laura, will local residents and businesses see any changes with regard to their relationship with the trash that gets picked up from their locations and taken to the landfill as a result of this transaction? Any difference in cost? Any difference in local jobs? Any difference in local actions?
No. So rate payers who pay to Waste Management and have trash service through Waste Management, this action does not impact anything that they are paying. There is a CPI increase that is built into the contract that goes into effect January 1st. So there will be a slight increase there based on that CPI increase, but that is already built into the contract and happens annually every January. So outside of that, no, because everything is locked in and they are, the purchasers of the stock are locked into the agreement that we have already. So that those rates can't change until such time as the contract would terminate or is renegotiated. And that's not till 2028. So this has no impact to our rate payers, this action here.
Okay. And am I correct in understanding that the rates that are paid when somebody decides to take a load of trash to the dump, let's say they did a big load of gardening and they're taking a trailer or a pickup truck full of stuff to the dump, that rate is set by Chicago Grade. It's not covered in the city's contract. Therefore, it could change.
Right. Those rates are market-driven and the same with Cold Canyon. And, in some instances, the same as the rate that is set by the city council in Paso Robles. So the city's contract only affects that which is paid by the city's hauler. It doesn't have anything to do with public rates.
Okay, so I'll reserve for the question for the Chicago Grade representatives whether or not they anticipate any major changes in those rates, just so people know what to expect. And then people would expect to see businesses and multifamily residents will expect to see some major changes with regard to trash, with the green bins needing to be in every location and the processing of organic waste, but that doesn't have anything to do with this, right? That has to do with SB 1383.
Yeah, that's SB 1383. That's an impact to the hauler, not to the landfill in terms of hauling. Now, there are some impacts to the hauler based on, you know, some things that happen with SB 1383 and some additional legislation that's out there, but not that impacts ratepayers. So anything that will impact ratepayers will be what's impacting our hauler and that difference. Now, in terms of green waste and that for residential, green waste is already built into residential rates. So that in and of itself doesn't change. Commercial businesses are already being contacted by the IWMA in order to work on getting them signed up for service and, you know, or if they qualify for a waiver to get them information on waivers to, you know, creatively figure out ways that they can share green waste with other, you know, neighboring businesses and that type of stuff. So all of that education is already in the process of being done by IWMA and that being set up. And as we move into this, and the hauler is in the process of picking this up and really seeing the impacts, then there could be potential changes to rates. But that would have to do directly with SB 1383, not at all with the landfill.
Okay. And then my last question I'll reserve for the Chicago Grade representatives as to whether or not they are going to continue the maybe that's for you. Will the semi-annual free dump day or free dump period continue?
That's actually through our hauler, not through the landfill. And the hauler is the one that's arranged that. That's been done a bit differently the last 2 years because of the pandemic and some closures and that, and you know, social distancing and masking and things that were in place. And so the hauler is actually the one that puts that on, not the landfill. And they partner with the landfill on that. So we'll see, you know, next year when this comes up, how that will, you know, play out, if they'll continue to do something like this, or if they'll go back to how we did originally, where people would bring that to we did a one day at the Public Works shop on Garbata and people could bring it that way. So we'll see, but that's actually driven by the hauler, not by the landfill.
Okay. So none of those things change as a result of this contract?
No, none of those have anything to do with the contract.
Great. Thank you.
Any other council questions? Great. I would ask about, as we bring on particularly Waste Connection, I'd like to know sort of the difference based upon what you know of the operations at Chicago Grade Landfill and the operations that you have at Cold Canyon, and the difference in pricing to the public when a public brings a load, whether it's a resident or a business contractor. And my understanding is that there may be somewhat of a price difference, Chicago Grade being more economical. And I know that, you know, we have here in our staff report, and our city clerk did say that, or our deputy city manager did say that, you know, you certainly honor the way locals work and what the desire is. And so I would like to hear from you. Is your plan to keep operations fairly similar, or do you have plans to change those to be more in line with what you do at, say, Cold Canyon or elsewhere? And might that cause an increase in price? So I would appreciate that. So let's go ahead and bring on anyone from Waste Connection and Chicago Grade that would like to speak. If you want to raise your hand in the webinar. I see Jeffrey Claren. And usually with public, we give about 3 minutes, but this is, you know, we're going to have some questions for you, but possibly. So if you kind of keep it short, if there's something that Laura didn't let us know, but otherwise maybe address some of the questions you've heard and anything else you want us to know. You are muted, Mr. Claren.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay, great. Well, thank you, Madam Mayor, council members, and city staff. My name is Sue Vandelinder. I'm with Jeff Claren, so my voice is a little different than his. I have been in the waste industry for about 35 years, and I'm the divisional vice president with oversight over operations in San Luis Obispo County. And I have with me tonight Jeff Claren, who is the district manager for the Cold Canyon Landfill and for the Slo Garbage Company, serving a large portion, as you know, of San Luis Obispo County. I also have with me Danette Figgis, the general manager for Cold Canyon, for Chicago Grade Landfill and the Santa Maria Transfer Station, and Ken Figgis, the operations manager for Chicago Grade, as well as John Ryan, who is the site manager for the Cold Canyon Processing Facility. So you have a number of us to answer any questions that you have. I just wanted to take a few minutes to talk a little bit about why Waste Connections and some of the benefits of Waste Connections. I'll keep it very brief. As you know, we partnered with HCI several years ago. There is a potential for Atascadero's Organics to join that facility. It is the only digester in San Luis Obispo County, which would assist with the 1383 requirements that you talked about earlier. I also wanted to mention the economies of scale that you have with Waste Connections and the resources that you have with Waste Connections. For example, the sourcing of equipment, environmental compliance, and those types of things. I also wanted to mention, as you know, the Cold Canyon Processing Facility has been accepting the City of Atascadero's recyclables since January of this last year, and processes all the recyclables in San Luis Obispo County. And just finally, we have always been a very involved partner in the community, and you have our commitment that we will continue to do that. So that's a little bit about who we are and what we bring to the table. With regard to the questions that were asked, I did want to address one of the questions which had to do with rates. Allos had already planned a minor rate increase to be effective January 2022, and that rate increase would have taken place regardless of the sale. With regard to the question about operations and the different operations, Cold Canyon Landfill versus Chicago Grade, really rates are market driven and operations are specific to each site. Certainly Waste Connections will look at the operations at the Chicago Grade Landfill, and if there's opportunities to make improvements in those operations, we'll do so. But you know, from what we've seen, it's a very well-run facility, and we're very pleased to have the staff staying with us with Waste Connections, especially the leadership team there. So, you know, we don't anticipate any significant changes to the operation.
All right. Thank you. I will look to counsel for questions of Ms. DeLinder or anyone else who may be on the phone and in the wings there with her. Councilmember Borbeau, did I see your hand?
Well, yeah, it's just really the same question you have, but concern about the market rates for individual residents, you know, taking a load to the landfill, because Waste Connections would now control two out of the three landfills in the county. And it, you know, since that's not part of the city contract at this point, would be concerned a little bit about that market power, if you will, in terms of potentially raising those rates on individuals who, you know, going to take a load to the landfill on their own, because those are our constituents who, if they exercise that market power, would be forced to pay those higher rates. I'd be looking for, I realize it's not a commitment, but some assurance that that's not been the practice where Waste Connections has taken over more than one landfill in a given area.
So, thank you. I'll take a stab at that. Really, the North County market is unique. We don't anticipate any significant change to the rates whatsoever. You know, it really depends on what you're doing at a site. I'll give you an example. We operate Avenal Landfill. Those rates are different yet again based on the community that's being served there, and the types of, whether it's recycling or waste disposal, the costs associated with those items just makes that different, right? So we don't anticipate coming in and making any significant changes to the rates based on what's already the services that are already being offered at the Chicago Grade Landfill. We just don't see any material changes at this time.
All right. Thank you.
And I think we all appreciate hearing that when you said North County Market is unique. It is. And we appreciate not being kind of lumped in with any sort of a cookie cutter way that maybe a larger company might see running their operations. So we do appreciate that. We know we have no control to make that happen, but you have a good reputation, and so we appreciate your word in that. Any other questions that we have from yes, Mayor Pro Tem Newsom?
You spoke to not making many changes, the North County and everything staying the way that it's currently been working. Some of the customers in the area have been going and using the landfill and being asked where they're coming from. At some point, are you going to allow people from Paso or San Luis to limit their contributing to the local landfill? Or is there a reason you're tracking it at this point?
Hi, Madam Mayor and members of the council members. This is Jeff Claren. On the origin thing, that's actually a state code where we actually have to track where origins are. And that's one other thing, too, with the IWMA and the county split. We really have to figure out exactly where the trash goes from the origin so we can prorate whatever it is, what it's going to be, an IWMA fee or is it a county fee. So that's actually required of us, whether it's Cold Canyon Landfill, Chicago Grade Landfill, or Paso Robles Landfill. The origin will have to be asked.
And Mr. Claren, what I'm hearing you say is we should all start saying we drove in from Santa Barbara.
I hope not.
teasing.
It seems to be a question that is being asked just recently, so it just popped up as to the reasoning behind, but thank you for the clarification.
Yeah, it was just November 15th. That was the big switch from the county splitting from the IWMA, so that was made sure to differentiate from an IWMA zone versus a county zone. It didn't really matter before because they all reported as one district. Now that we're reporting separately, it does matter.
Councilmember Corbo.
Yeah, and so, that's a direct outgrowth of the county leaving the IWMA, because now the IWMA will be reporting at least the remainder of this fiscal year for the county as well. But that data has to be split. And so, the landfills now have to know, are you coming from an IWMA serviced area or a county area? And also, not just for reporting purposes, but for the splitting of the tipping fee. No change in what people pay, but it's just, is it going to go into the county's pot or is it going to go into the IWMA's pot? And so that's directly what's driving why that question is being asked since November 15th. So no change in service or what it costs anybody to go to the landfill. Wouldn't save you any money to say you're from Santa Barbara or, the Valley or anywhere else. It's just a matter of giving up the money you do pay and for reporting purposes.
Thank you to our IWMA rep.
Yes. Mr. President.
Yes.
Thank you. Any other questions? All right. I think you've been very thorough, Mr. Claren, or any of the other folks that are there. We certainly appreciate you coming. If there's anything else you feel you need to say to us, you can do so at this time. Otherwise, we will say thank you and move on. All right. Any other member of the public who's wishing to speak on this item, if you would raise your hand in the webinar, you can go to that raise hand icon. If you're on the phone, you can press *9. Luke, do we have anyone on the phone?
We do not.
Okay. And I'm not seeing anyone in the webinar, but let me give you a last chance, anyone who wishing to speak on this item. All right. I see none, so we'll go ahead and close public comment, and I will bring it back to council for a motion.
I move we approve staff's recommendation.
I'll second that.
Motion by Councilmember Barbeau, second by Councilmember Funk. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Barbeau?
Yes.
Councilmember Funk?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Newsom?
Yes.
Mayor Moreno?
Yes, ma'am.
Motion passes.
Thank you. Now we're moving on to council announcements and committee reports, and I will just go with my Hollywood Squares, going with Councilmember Barbeau first.
All right, thank you. Let's see, on the IWMA or Integrated Waste Management Authority front, we had a special meeting today, this afternoon, wherein we approved a transitional memorandum of understanding with the county, where the IWMA will continue to provide essentially all the services it currently does to the county and county residents, and the county will pay the IWMA for those services, including helping to cover the administrative cost of running all those programs. And that transitional MOU was approved unanimously by the Board of Supervisors last week, and it runs through June of 2022 to give the county time to assess which and how which programs and that they might want to directly take on themselves, how they would do it, et cetera. But so in the meantime, there's no change in service other than asking people some questions about where they're from, so things can be split out. And so that's one thing. And also, let's see, we had, with the county's departure, we now have an 8-member board. We held a committee meeting last week to address possible changes to the joint powers agreement that makes up IWMA. You may recall that we at our last council meeting approved some immediate revisions to the JPA that allows us to function without the county present. Purpose of this was to address other changes requested by individual cities in their resolutions or other issues brought forward. So we had a meeting, had some good input, and the attorney will be revising a draft and bring it back to the committee one more time. Run it by city staffs because it has to be approved by all of the cities. So there needs to be consensus about the changes. It wouldn't do any good to have a majority and then have 6 out of 7 approve it or something like that. One of the issues came up was that had not been mentioned, of course, by cities, was whether or not we could have more than one community services district representative on the IWMA board. And so that is an item of potential consideration, if that can be done. So we had a productive meeting in that respect. We also had a meeting the prior week with city managers and with our consultant regarding the rate setting, because of all the activities centered around requirements of implementing and administering 1383, the IWMA has a need to raise its rate that is imposed on haulers, but there's concern on the part of some cities about the precise data presented to justify that rate increase, because some of them are going out doing a 218 process. So that meeting resulted in trying to address some more concerns, and there'll be a second attempt by the consultant to try to address all of those concerns raised by the cities. So I'm thinking that is about it. The IWMA has also engaged the services of an executive recruitment firm to identify or to search for a new executive director. And that was something that's been requested by the cities, that we pursue that more quickly. So that is happening as well.
Thank you. Mayor Pro Tem Newsom.
We had a design review committee meeting last week. Topics we looked at were a colony home addition, and then Woods Humane Society expansion, which is now moving on to planning commission with recommendations on noise studies and being good neighbors. Nothing else to report. Happy holidays to everybody.
And Councilmember Funk.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Neither the Atascadero Basin Groundwater Sustainability Agency nor the Design Review Committee is scheduled to meet before we have our next council meeting. The Homeless Services Oversight Council met last week to discuss the process for the what's called the HHAP set of state grants that are coming through. The round three and the round four monies are coming through the state. This is part of a series of major grants that they're making available for essentially expanding capacity in being able to address the needs of homeless persons. It's a little bit interesting because the new requirements require essentially the Homeless Services Oversight Council and the county to independently agree, and the HSOC is an advisory body of the county. So we had some little discussion about how we're refining that so that our group has its voice but doesn't get out of line with the board supervisors. The big news item for the community is that, and I think Laura's got a slide on this, the homeless point in time count. This happens, we ordinarily would have happened last January, but we got a waiver on it for the pandemic. This is a one day or one part of a day count of everyone who is homeless, sheltered or unsheltered, with outreach workers and volunteers reaching out throughout all the communities and spaces in the counties where homeless people are thought to be or known to be hanging out, to try and get an accurate count of how many people we have out there that we are needing to serve and some of the demographics. We do know that there's a really large need in this county. And the perception is that it has increased during the course of the pandemic. And we'll see with these numbers whether that's in fact true or not. But some of the indicators of large need include that the new Echo Paso Robles shelter, which is essentially half of what used to be Motel 6 up there, is full every single night, and they are turning away 15 to 20 people a night because they don't have room for them. So they're, you know, this is in addition to all the people that were placed into permanent supporting housing on the other side of that project, which is also full except for units that they're keep open for renovations, things going on. So lots of work there. If you would like to volunteer to be part of this count, as Councilmember Barbeau has done in the past, there's a link here to do that, or you can email the address there and get that. So I encourage people who might be interested to step up and take part. It's a really important function so that we can plan to understand and meet the needs that are there. That's my report.
Thank you, Councilmember Funk. Let's see, I will have San Luis Obispo Council of Governments and a brief Regional Transit Authority meeting on December 8th. We had a mayor's meeting last Friday, and Dave Mullinax with our League of California Cities presented a couple of initiatives that we want to be keeping an eye on that probably have a pretty good chance of making it to, one has a really good chance of making it to next year's ballot and could have a real challenging impact on cities. The other one is getting some steam and is quite interesting. The first is being supported by the California Business Roundtable and largely driven by the beverage industry. And it is an initiative that would require local taxes and fees, even 218 votes, to go to the ballot and have a two-thirds vote to pass it. So, I mean, this is even when we have to raise our recreation fees or just every little thing that you do, because the cost goes up and you have to, you know, of course, recoup that cost. So the cost of actually doing that would be more than you would get in trying to recover the cost of whatever the fee of the services you're providing. So And it would be a constitutional amendment. So this is a big one to keep an eye on. And then another one is a group of Southern California mayors that got together and actually gotten a little steam with it, but they wanting to get signatures for an initiative on the ballot to give local land use authority, which sounds great. Devil is in the details, and it's maybe not as well written as it could be. So it'll be very interesting, but you know, there would certainly be exemptions for things like CEQA, you know, power plants. But it's a little too broadly written, and Dave's sense is that even if it did pass, it would end up in court. But it certainly has a good spirit behind it. And if it were better written, and who knows if folks might come together and actually be able to do that for 2024, because I think all cities are quite frustrated with are losing bit by bit our land use authority with every piece of legislation that seems to come out. So that's kind of what we're waiting for. And with that, I will go to, let's see here, individual determinations or actions. And Councilmember Morbeau, I believe you have one.
I did. I hadn't, shame on me, hadn't been tracking it too closely, but you know, the County Board of Supervisors is looking at redistricting as they do every 10 years. And last week, you know, they settled upon two possible plans. And my concern is, looking at those, I don't see either of them serving Atascadero well. And so I know it's not something we can, you know, talk about this evening because it's not on the agenda and we won't be meeting again prior to their final consideration. So I would suggest that my colleagues and I, you know, look at that more closely. And if each of us feels so, perhaps communicating with our Board of Supervisors, because one of those maps splits up Atascadero, puts the western portion in a district, in the coastal district, into District 2, and the other kind of throws the entire map up in the air, but keeps Atascadero whole, but puts it into the coastal district, which, if they keep the numbering sequence the same, would be District 2, which I don't see as particularly... Atascadero feels like a North County city to me, not a coastal community. And so anyway, I don't see either of those potential maps serving Atascadero very well. And so intend to comment and suggest that my colleagues consider taking a look at it and doing likewise.
Thank you, Councilmember Bobo. Any other individual determinations or actions?
May I comment on Councilmember Bobo's individual determination?
I think you can comment on, like, if you want to take action or recommend others, but we can't have a discussion about what we think about the plans, I would think. Yeah.
I will report to this body that I did attend the Board of Supervisors meeting last Friday and spoke on behalf of a number of things, including that separating the city of Atascadero into two parts would tend to disempower the city and would not be helpful for us. And I expressed a number of considerations. The supervisors selected two maps that become the basis of the decision that they are scheduled to make on November 30th. So it would be, and comments for that meeting would either have to be received by email at least the night before by 5 p.m. or would have to be delivered live. And for those who are used to being able to participate in this body's meetings by Zoom, that option is not available for the County Board of Supervisors at present. And so to comment, you need to be there in person.
Thank you. Any other individual determinations or actions? Seeing none, and our one remaining person in the audience, and this or in the public, and this makes me think of what you just reflected on, Councilmember Funk, that other not all jurisdictions have the ability to do the Zoom or really like the hybrid meetings, and we have figured that out. So I really want to thank our staff Luke, who heads up our IT, to be able to have that technology to let people engage in ways that they're able to, I think, opens it up to more of the public, and we really appreciate that, and I know our public does. So with that, before I close, I need to ask our city attorney if we have any reportable action from our prior closed session that we finished after our last meeting.
There was no reportable action from your last meeting.
Thank you. So now I am adjourning our regular meeting, and we are going to close the session, and I will ask for a roll call, please, for our closed session.
Well, let's hold on just a second. I believe the item that was added to your agenda was to your regular meeting, so you won't be closing your regular meeting. We'll just be moving on to the closed session item.
I have on my agenda that we're adjourning it. We're going to close session, and then we'll report out next week if there's anything.
Well, the closed session is part of your regular meeting. So reach a resolution here. Let's leave the meeting open because it needs to be in order for you to be continuing on with your business. However, I don't believe there's any anticipated reportable action that would be coming out of your closed session. So you would be able to, if you want, adjourn your meeting at the end of your closed session, and you don't need to come back into open session to adjourn it if there's not going to be any reportable action, which we don't expect there to be.
Wonderful. Well, thank you for that option. And so I'm going to ask our city attorney as we go into closed session to let us know what that item is.
Yes, this will be a conference with real property negotiators. It's authorized by Government Code Section 549.56.8. The real property is located at 9510 Calle Milano in Atascadero. The agency negotiator is your city manager. The negotiating parties are the Colemans, Curtis and Julie, and subject of negotiation are price and terms of payment.
Thank you. Now we'll open up public comment if there's anyone wishing to speak on this item before the council goes into closed session. You can raise your hand or press *9 if you're on the phone. All right, seeing none, we'll close public comment and go into closed session, which means that publicly we will see you all on December 14th. And in the meantime, a very happy Thanksgiving to you.